Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury.
Well, thanks again for joining me for Conversations with the Pros. I figured I'll dive into questions, but before I do, I would love for you to give us a nice introduction about who you are, where you dance, and just where you're at in life right now.
Awesome. So I'm Clara, and I'm French. I'm 19 years old. I studied at the Dutch National Ballet Academy for a while. Before that, I studied at the Jan Kranke School. But yeah, I graduated from the Dutch National Ballet Academy in Amsterdam. And this year, I moved to the States, and I came to the Washington Ballet as a trainee. And that's where I'm at right now, dance-wise. I also do university. I am a social sciences major, and I do like online university.
That's a very big move to make, and you recently made it. So can you talk to us a little bit about that transition?
I'm not gonna lie, it was quite a hard transition. I think like adjusting to the routine was not very hard. Like I think the life routine itself was not really hard because I have moved quite a bit already, you know, like from Brussels to Paris to Stuttgart. So like I have already kind of experienced life on my own. I've lived in my own apartment for many years now. So that was fine. But I think what is hard is adjusting to the American rhythm, which I will say it's so much more dancing than in Europe. I was not prepared for that amount of dancing. I used to dance like max 6 hours a day, and now, I mean, sometimes we had rehearsals going from like, you know, we start at like 9:30 and then we will end like pretty late at 6 or like later if we have rehearsals. I mean, I don't think it has happened too much, but yeah. So that was a big transition. Also transitioning from being a student to a trainee, which is this like middle position between school and company. Yeah, that's also different because I've had to figure out my meal times when we perform, which is, I mean, we did perform last year and the other years before, but you know, not as much. You don't do a full round of Nutcracker, or you don't do, you know, this much. So yeah, that's been interesting too. And then like adjusting to a whole different continent in terms of like finding the grocery stores, finding like, you know, produce that is affordable was a big thing for me, mainly like affordable side of it, because I think that doesn't get talked about enough.
Sure.
But I'm on a budget. Most of us here are, because we are students. We don't have like an income yet, so you know, you gotta make sure that it's not too expensive. And food is more expensive in the US compared to Europe, from my point of view at least. So yeah, that was kind of tricky, and like finding the stuff that I usually buy, and like, but you know, you adjust to this pretty quickly.
I've heard from several dancers who have gone or either flipped around from dancing in Europe to dancing in the US, and the common theme is that here in the US, unfortunately, in my opinion, dancers are, you know, I don't even think this is just dance culture, actually, this is just culture in general in the US. Work culture in general is very much work-centered and not, like, person-centered. So working hours in general are pushed to the max, the maximum. And not, this is not a scientific statistic, but from just the work that I've done in the past decade working with dancers, I see that the risk of burnout just seems to be higher than perhaps, you know, rest is prioritized and even encouraged.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in November, I sort of burned out because, like, it was all a lot, you know. I got injured the first week I was there. Then I got sick. I got sick repeatedly because I think my immune system was just not used to a different continent, a different country. And so I can say confidently that I was sick nonstop from August to, like, December. Just the for COVID or the flu again. And that mixed with another injury that I got later on that made me stop for a month in November. That was just a lot. And I will say that the flip side of this is that I prefer the ballet working culture here because people are a little bit more dedicated, I feel. And I feel like I can, I don't know, I feel like I can work better because people are, like, very focused on their work and they take this really seriously and this is really their profession. Whereas I have seen some dancers at companies in Europe or students who kind of, you know, start being, like, very negative or, like, because they don't dance as much, they're not very stimulated. And so, you know, they kind of disengage. So, yeah, I think that's, there are two sides of the overworking culture in the U.S. Like, at the same time, you know, you get good repertoire. You're always stimulated with new stuff to do, new stuff to learn. But, yeah. There's a high risk of, like, serious injuries, I think.
Of course, it's always beneficial to try to see both sides of the perspective, right? And I completely agree with you. I think that's fabulous to have that mindset as well. I also think it's, you know, it's a testament to the importance of just taking ownership in your own training and whichever, you know, culture you're immersed in right now when it comes to dance. Knowing what your limits are and when rest and recovery need to be prioritized, especially for if you are recovering from sickness or from an injury and not pushing yourself through it just because you want to really sustain the future of your dancing as well and not just, like, push through right now, right? Not just have that short-term perspective, but also keep in mind that long-term perspective.
Yeah. And that's why when I talk to younger dancers and, you know, my friends, we always say that I don't think you should move to another continent or even to another country when you're not ready. And for me, it is a learning curve. And I think the role of your parents is very valuable. And I see a lot of dancers rushing to, like, get into school super early because they think that this is, you know, a time game and that, I mean, I think they're made to feel that way with the ballet culture in general on Instagram, on TikTok, YouTube, but there's no rush really. And I think you need the maturity to, like, make your own decisions, such as, like, I am too injured for this. I will not do this. Or, like, you know, for example, knowing how to cook, like, that's a big thing. I still see people at my age who don't really know how to cook.
I've spoken to hundreds of dancers who have moved away from home at all different ages. I do agree. I think the 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, very young ages, but, you know, these pre-pro schools are starting actually at that time. And it's major questions that need to be considered in regard to, well, what skills do you have to care for yourself? And especially, of course, cooking, but especially that mindset, that confidence to know that if I am going to take off for this upcoming week, if I am going to let my body rest, then I need to have that confidence to know that I will be able to get back in the studio and continue to be successful. And I think younger dancers definitely struggle with seeing, as I said before, that long-term perspective. So you raised such a wonderful point, and also a bit of a reassurance for dancers in regards to the idea of, you know, take a step back, see the perspective. Let's not rush into decisions. If you don't, you know, have success with auditions this season, you are not writing off your dance career, right? There are additional opportunities. This is what is now doesn't have to be what is tomorrow.
Yeah. And I think, big one I was thinking about was peer pressure, because when you're very young, you're susceptible to, you know, just see people do certain things and do the same, or let other people tell you things and then you listen. And particularly surrounding the topic of food, it's dangerous to, you know, follow the advice of people who are like 13, who not being coached in, you know, nutrition in any way. I've seen it happen too many times over the course of the years I spent at professional ballet schools, and it is a shame, but not every big ballet school provides nutrition classes, nutrition advice, or not enough. Because once a year is not enough, in my opinion.
You know, it is very problematic, the lack of outreach that is happening in dance schools. One thing I will say that I am witnessing, at least here in the U.S., is an increase in outreach. I think dance schools are starting to do a better job in providing their dancers with education. Mm-hmm. As you said, the sources of that education matters so much, making sure that, you know, professionals are being vetted, that they're that they hold the credentials, licensure, as an example, dietitians, but not even in just the nutrition realm, also in mental health, right? I think actually mental health, I think, is lagging behind the nutrition, because from what I see with the dance schools, especially the ones that I work with, mental health for them is somewhat of an afterthought, and it shouldn't be. In my opinion, actually, it's more important to address that even than just, like, for example, hosting my nutrition workshops. They're both essential, but the mental health aspect for dancers, especially for younger dancers, is so essential, especially just to at the very least help dancers build some coping tools for the inevitable, which are, as you mentioned, sometimes those triggers, the overhearing comments in the studio. It's extremely important that schools are offering these resources. I agree with you. They're unfortunately limited. You know, I wish every school can offer these materials. They don't. And hopefully that will change. That's why I personally do such I make it such a priority to make sure that I have resources that are accessible for dance schools, you know, and dancers in general to just hold on to, because as you mentioned, it's so easy for dancers to pick up, whether it's comments, whether it's quote unquote advice, pick it up from TikTok, pick it up from their friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, definitely. And I will say that I'm seeing positive change, because before I feel like dance and science were completely separated, which is not the case in most, you know, sports. Like if you take, I don't know, figure skating or soccer, anything, like the Olympic teams, which are about the same level as us dancers are, if you look at it. They have all this medical backup. They have physios, PTs on site. They have nutritionists. They have therapists. You know, they have so many resources, because it is understood that doing such a job is very difficult and that you need extra support for it. Because I always take the analogy of a car. Yeah. If you put one wheel, it's not going to you know, it's not going to go far. If you put four wheels, it's going to go a bit further. Well, I think the same with ballet. And now I feel like science is coming in slowly, but steadily, I think. And I find accounts like yours really good because, like, not everyone can afford, having a nutritionist or having a therapist. And it's great that there are free resources for that because, you know, it needs to be accessible to all people who want to even attempt to be professional athletes or dancers.
Absolutely. And that's those pros and cons that we see of social media, right? There can be such valuable information at our fingertips. There can also be very harmful information at our fingertips. So again, going back to what you mentioned in regard to a dancer having skill sets to be able to decipher and identify, you know, information that is helpful versus information that could potentially be harmful. I am very curious to hear more about your decision to start college and to add, you know, this layer of balance to your dance training, because this is something that I personally think is such a benefit for dancers, right, to have these additional outlets.
You know, so in my opinion, it's very important if you want to do college to do it and not feel like ballet is stopping you from doing it, because it is not. So I started last year, and it was a joint decision with my parents as well. They were like, because I wanted to take a gap year initially. I was like, oh, I want to focus on auditions. And I was not very happy, but my parents were like, no, we don't want you to take a gap year. You got to do this now. And I don't know, that was kind of their condition for me continuing ballet and stuff, and I just accepted it. I was like, okay, let's do it. I like studying, so it was not much of a problem for me. I'm a good student, so it's also not too much of, you know, it's not overloading my day too much. But I actually, after starting, I found out that it was helping my anxiety so much, because it put some balance in my day. You know, like, studying forces me to just not think about ballet for 2 hours, and I just focus on something else, and that was so relaxing for me, because I was just, you know, immersed in something else for a bit, and I found that it made me a more complete person. And so now I could not do it, I think, because it does bring that level of balance in my day, which I like, and it makes me a more, not more interesting person, but more curious about the world, and there are more, like, facets to, like, how I see the world, I think, because we are in a cocoon with, like, ballet, you know, we're in a bubble, and it can be scary sometimes to talk to normal people, because you're like, oh, what am I gonna talk about? Like, we're so different. Yeah. We're actually not that different. But, you know, you have to learn about the world you live in as an artist, because, you know, like, being an artist is like message. And so if you don't know about the world you live in and what's happening, what do you have to say? And also, that's a more reason, but you never know with a ballet career if you're gonna get injured, or I don't know, if you suddenly don't like it anymore. And it's nice to know that you have a backup plan, and that, you know, for example, like, if dance doesn't work out for me, I know that I want to do a master's and, like, go to a good university somewhere. So that's nice to know, especially with the stress of auditions, and, you know, the what ifs, like, oh, you know, like, this is about to work out.
I definitely had a similar mindset when I was, I'm going to age myself, but, like, when I was your age, it's really what led me to want to also add dietetics and going to college and getting my degrees and licensure as a dietitian, just because for me, having that outlet also, you know, doing schoolwork, doing studying was so helpful for my time in the studio, because I know for myself that I am someone who can naturally fall into tunnel vision with whatever I'm doing, right? So if I have these other outlets that are helping me to build that balance, it only helped me as a dancer. And, you know, with what you were saying, I do think it makes us more interesting, you know, to add these additional layers. It brings depth. It brings depth into your performance, your artistry, as you said it so beautifully, as dancers, as artists, right? We are depicting a story on stage. And if we don't have other experiences in life than just inside the studio, what are we really bringing to that story? You know, so all of these experiences play such an important role. And on that note, I would love to hear, it's usually the final question that I ask for all the dancers on the show. How would you describe what it means to be the healthy dancer?
So for me, health is a few different things. There is the mental part, which is very important in my opinion, because if I'm not well mentally, I tend to be more injured and be more sick. So this is a very important part. The healthy dancer would also be an injury-free dancer. Mm-hmm. A dancer with a healthy relationship with food, mm-hmm. so a balanced relationship, and someone who doesn't feel too conflicted about it. Doesn't mean that they can't feel conflicted at all, because I think that's, you know, that can be difficult, but a healthy dancer is someone who sleeps, yeah. because that's really important. I sometimes, you know, I'm studying and then I get a bit too late, but then, you know, yeah. you get sick because you're tired. Sleep is really important.
Yeah, from sleep, from the healthy relationship with food, a lot of people miss this, right? A lot of people will think our health mm-hmm. is, you know, about our food choices. It's not just about our food choices. It's about how we are actually building a relationship with food, right? If we are only focusing on those nutrient dense, what diet culture deems to be healthy options, then we are going to miss out. We're going to miss out on the potential experiences that food can provide us with as well. So, mm-hmm. so important that you mentioned that. And then of course, also, yes, mindset. This is elemental for all dancers, and just making sure, as I mentioned, I keep repeating myself, but you know, that short term, but also that long term success is going to play such a huge role. It has been such a pleasure chatting with you. You've provided us with such wonderful insight tonight.